Welcome to the Scentcast. My name is Dale Pickles, the Managing Director of B Squared and the host of the Scentcast, a podcast for special educational needs and disability. Each week on the podcast, we are talking about a different topic within the world of special educational needs to improve our knowledge, to provide support to professionals working in schools, and to empower parents. And every week on the podcast, I have a different guest who comes along to talk about an area they are passionate about. And my guest this week is Lynn Howe. Lynn is an educational consultant and author. And this episode, we are discussing what SENCOs want their head teachers to know about the role and how can head teachers help their SENCOs. The SENCast is created and produced by us here at B Squared. We are the assessment people. We help to show the small steps of progress pupils with SEND make. We help schools to show progress for a wide range of abilities and ages. But did you know about our autism progress? It is our framework for helping profile a pupil's autism and help people to understand how their autism impacts them. It is based on certs and looks at communication, social interaction, emotional regulation, and flexible thinking. Autism progress also includes a wide range of strategies to help support the pupils. Visit the B Squared or click on the meeting link in the show notes to book a meeting with me to take you through our software. Now, let's get on with the podcast. In this week's show, we're discussing what SENCOs want their head teachers to know about the role and how head teachers can help their SENCOs. My guest this week is Lynn Howe. Lynn is an educational consultant and author. Lynn has worked in education for over 20 years, including being an assistant head, lead mentor for ITT and SENCO, and one of her big focuses is well-being for both staff and pupils. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thanks for having me.
You are welcome. The SENCO role is not in your typical pathway. Typically, you go teacher, then deputy, then head teacher. And because of this, head teachers might not fully understand the role of a SENCO or be aware of what is being involved in being a SENCO.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I certainly stepped into this role because I wanted to maintain sort of a leadership status in education, but yet have that sort of part-time flexibility that being a working mum kind of doesn't necessarily lend itself to senior leadership, although I know that's changing. When I was trying to do it, it's still not great, is it, to be fair?
No, not great. I'm literally shaking my head going, not really.
No, not really. I was trying to be diplomatic, but no, it's rubbish. So anyway, that's a completely different episode, isn't it?
Yeah, so
being a working single mum with two, a young family, headship wasn't really the way to go for me. And, I love special needs education, so I kind of sidestepped into part-time SENCOing. So it really did suit me, but it also uncovered an awful lot of what head teachers didn't know. Whereas that, if that's because they haven't had training themselves, I know initial teacher training doesn't cover a massive amount of SEND stuff, or whether they just haven't picked things up on the way, there is an awful lot of misconceptions among head teachers. And I've worked for 11 now, so over 23 years. So I've seen how not to do it. A few times I've seen how to do it, but yeah, how not to do it has also been quite prevalent.
That's the thing. I think sometimes when you work in one school, you can say, oh, it's just this school. But when you say, I've worked with 11 head teachers. 11.
I counted just before the show. I was thinking, how many is it now? I still work in school. So
that's the thing. When you start saying that, you're going, yeah, it's not that school. There's a bigger issue here. And I think it is when you're a teacher, you move up to a deputy head and you kind of look back on, okay, I did that role. That's what I didn't have. So I'm going to give that. And you go up to the head teacher with that SENCO, as you said, you sidestepped into it. Yeah, it wasn't a career development. It was a sidestep.
Well, it depends how you look at it, because you can develop your career within the field, which I have. So,
I'm not saying it's just, but it is that mentality of it's a step. It's over here. You're separate. You're not in that. Whether you say it unintentionally, there is that kind of overall feel about the SENCO is it is over there and you don't need to do it to move on.
Very isolated role, definitely.
Yes. And I think now there is going to be more SEN in ITT and the early careers framework. Well, nothing is still more than nothing in terms of percentage increase. Mm-hmm. 100% increase of 0.1 is not much at all.
It's like a volunteer's pay rise, isn't it?
Yes. So, but as we move up, as you said, through the leadership, through probably those MPQs on that leadership scale, there still isn't that training around SEND.
No, there's not. And I think coming from it from different directions. The best heads I've worked with have come from Sencoing themselves as a deputy or assistant head, and they generally know what's what. But at the same time, they have a bit of a tendency, because they know so much about it, they give you a massive to-do list as well. And it is definitely better to work with a head who knows about it all and is very inclusive. But at the same time, if you just want to be left alone to get on with your job, it's not necessarily a dynamic that works either. But it depends on personalities. And, you know, I've loved the heads that I've worked with who are very inclusive.
That's the thing. I think when you have that long, giant list, it's basically great because you're literally recognising these are all the things we need to do. And it's probably nice going, excellent, you're on board with it. Apart from the time in them, but that's a whole different thing. But no, that's the thing. I think there is those, and I've heard lots of people on the podcast say that the best head teachers they've worked with are those who've been Sencos, because it brings a whole new experience to that role. If you haven't been a Senco, you just won't understand.
Definitely. And it's been so variable. So I've worked with other head teachers who know they don't understand, relying on me to support them with their understanding and support them with the school direction, which is also fine because I'm happy to guide. But these are also the heads that sometimes opt out of the staff meeting if they've not, like, if it's, they don't feel it's relevant to them at that time, they'll go and do something else and leave me to lead it. But actually, for that whole school message and for their understanding, they also need to be in the meeting as well. And then you've got the other head teachers who think they know, but they don't know. So these are the most challenging because they're not very malleable. They think they're inclusive, but they're really not. And they still think that our SEM pupils, you know, we want them to reach their potential, but they still have an understanding that perhaps it's just about gap plugging and bringing them up to ARE. Whereas, you know, sometimes we're just literally working towards the EHCP outcomes, which is the most important thing, rather than trying to gap plug as such. So yeah, a whole range I've seen. And I know that Senkos in my network have also seen the range as well.
I think just to really go back to that point you just said, that when a leader kind of feels they have something more important to do, and I know how busy leaders are, and this is leaders at all levels, but when you've got something like SEN on a meeting, SEND, and you've got that Senko leading that team, and you're going, you know, actually what, I've got something more important to do. Mm. That is the message you're giving to everyone else, is if you've got more important things to do than SEND, then you go do that. And that's the sort of thing, when you're not in that meeting, you are giving a message whether you want to or not, whether you've got X number of things on your plate, you are giving a subconscious message to your staff that this isn't really that relevant, or that, and I'm not on board with it. And the best heads are the ones who have introduced, they've listened, they've commented on, and they're the ones where you're literally, that head teacher is in your, they're on your team, they're supporting you, and they're really showing to the rest of the school how important the message you're giving is.
Definitely. I mean, I completely empathise with these head teachers, because I know that, you know, just in terms of trust leadership and governance, they are also being stretched to breaking point as well. So they are also making difficult decisions as to what they sit in on and what they don't. So from that point of view, you know, head teachers listening, I completely appreciate the angles that you're coming from. But at the same time, it's a case of understanding the high quality teaching. That's a whole SLT issue. It's not just down to the Senco. So unless you've got whole school buy-in, which comes from the top down, really Senkos are banging their head against the wall a little bit in that aspect, if not everyone's on board. Or if the head teacher's giving one set of targets on their learning walk, and then the Senko's coming around and giving two more targets, that's kind of overloading the teachers, which isn't helpful. And just everyone's just working in different directions.
That's the thing, is hopefully those targets you're giving completely separate are in line. But if that head teacher's never heard yours or what your aims are, then actually your targets and the head teacher's targets could be actually conflicting.
Mm, they could be. And that's not good for anybody.
No. So, yeah, SEND is always going to, well, it shouldn't be hard. And you have to look around the world and go, actually, we are doing well internationally with SEND, but there's so much more we can do. And it is about, there are, as you said, there are so many pressures on head teachers But it's really important, I think, to understand the role and understand the laws around the role.
Definitely.
Because the Senko, and I only learned this over the last few years, is the Senko is someone who can be, I think, if I'm wrong on this, I've heard it a couple of times, is you can be sued as a professional.
I can't 100% answer that. But
so I know, if you're a teacher, you're kind of...
I know that in terms of an Ofsted outcomes piece of paper that is often says Senko on the piece of paper as a named person, which also has its own problems, because when you are the person named yet you have no real power, that is a big issue.
Yes, because that's the thing, is you are the coordinator, it relies on everyone else, that whole leadership, the time and everything else, yet it somehow falls back on you. So that's one thing I have heard, but I've not 100% found out it's true, but that is really an extra thing on the Senko. And also, you have legal timelines around EHCPs and all those processes that if that comes in on the last day of term, you still have to respond within your Turton timescales.
Well, you say that, but I'm kind of been banging on to Senko's about putting the out of office reply on and pretending you haven't even noticed it, to be honest, because I know last summer, Senkos were working throughout their summer holiday because some of these big secondary schools had 20 come in. It's a ridiculous number, and you're spending your whole holiday. That's also unseen workload of Senkos. That's definitely a major issue. Your whole holiday trying to find reasons why this school is not suitable for these severely high needs pupils who should be in specialist settings. So, yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. There we go.
But they are two things that I don't know if everyone is aware of. Now, the first one, it might be a hearsay thing, but I'm 90% sure from what I've heard, it is a thing that because you're that named person and things like that, Ofsted, it kind of is in that. But that additional workload, that no matter what, how many hours you've done, how many things, you get this stuff in and you legally have to respond.
Even if your LA does not stick to their legal timelines, it's expected that you stick to yours, so...
Yeah, and that to me, when you start hearing that and you're going, right, but actually that kind of my 6 week, I'm going to say 6 weeks off. I'm going to say that word.
Got inverted commas, haven't we?
Yes.
In the studio.
Yes. You know what I mean, is I would say that those 6 weeks are kind of a reward for kind of everything else. Your work balances out and those 6 weeks off is, it all works out. Yeah, you work really hard and you need a break. My wife has gone back into teaching. We're counting days because she needs a break. And I really get that. But when that break is taken away from you, and yet your head teacher might not be at all aware of this, all these things, again, you're doing lots of work because you legally have to, yet no one is understanding or recognising it.
And the head teacher's the only one as well for outcome meetings. If they turn up in the holidays, the head teacher's the only one that can stand in for you. Yet they're not going to know enough about the situation to be able to stay in that outcomes meeting. So really, Senko should not be giving up their time for outcomes meetings and the holidays, but sometimes legally it's a bit of a grey area. That's something just in my network I'm really looking to promote a little bit more and try and get a little bit more clarity from higher above in terms of actually doing something about that, because that's something that's a massive bugbear among the Senko community.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, that's just the two things but they're two big things, I think, that I don't think, unless you are a Senko, you are aware of those two things and aware of how much work is involved in legally responding. There is a whole thing of you don't have to use their paperwork. There's a load of things that you're told by your local authority, which may or may not be true. It is worth researching and understanding what is your legal responsibility so you can reduce your workload.
Definitely. The IPSI website is the go-to there for the legalities.
Yeah, it's IPSI and Gary Freeman for me. Love listening to Gary. And it's things like, and I see this in various groups over the last few weeks, is people updating the EHCPs after a meeting. That is a legal document and you are not authorised as a Senko or anyone in the school to update that document. Mm-hmm. You are, your responsibility is to write a report, which can literally be an email.
Agreed. However, on the other side of it, you know that if you don't support your local authority in sorting that document out, you might wait another 3 years. So that's another grey area. And it depends if you're considering whether you're going to make your own life easier, isn't it, making those decisions. But no, we shouldn't be doing that.
That's the thing, is you really are, as a Senko, balancing so many things. Because it's like, if I do the less work so I can get more done, everyone else kind of doesn't do their bit and it falls back on me. And again, it's that external view of your role as a Senko by parents, which we're going to discuss in another future podcast, really has that impact. And you can come across as a really ineffective Senko through everyone else not doing their bits. And that's what you kind of referred to in that Ofsted report.
Definitely. I think I've always sort of said to my networks that if you can, this year, if you aim to be 20% more disagreeable, then that if we all did that, then hopefully that would collectively help things.
That sounds negative, but it is one of those.
It's better than being too militant, because you've still got to work in these places, haven't you? So
yeah. But there is something about the Senko is, I will make do. I will somehow make this thing. If you give me a piece of paper and some glue, I will make the Titanic for you type mentality with Senkos.
All altruistic and empathetic beings. And I think if you are a Senko, you are a particularly patient person.
Particularly patient, but also when you're told we don't have the money for that, you'll just find a way to do it in a different way.
Yeah,
because you know it has
shops.
To be done.
Yep.
Yep, I was in there at the weekend looking for jigsaws and things and Jenga and stuff. But it is that way. You told it, but you just still, you know that you need to do it.
Because there's children right at the bottom of the issues, isn't there? That's the thing. There's individual children. I think Senko guilt in comparison to class teacher guilt is really high, because as a class teacher, you're responsible for 30 and your impact is not as high as a Senko when you are trying to get in the HCP for an individual. I think the guilt of not coming through for that pupil is quite high. And I don't think leaders appreciate that sometimes.
No. And one thing I would really say to any leader listening to this, time is money. So if you are saying we cannot afford to do X, and by using X, it takes the Senko half an hour a week, 3 hours, whatever it is, 5 hours a term. But by not doing that, that now takes a Senko 4 hours a week or 20 hours a term. Basically, what you're saying is you're pushing something else out.
Definitely. I mean, I've been told before that I need to be able to bang out an EHCP application in an hour. I don't think so. So everything takes twice as long as you think it will, definitely. And I'll always suggest to my Senkos that they have a look at the workload tracking list on my website, and then they can have that professional dialogue with their head teacher. And it just shows what Senkos do on weekly, daily, monthly, termly basis. And you can put in your own ideas and then just use that as a discussion tool, really, so that you can say to your head teachers, well, if you want me to do this, what don't you want me to do on this list so I can fit it in? Because, you know, I'm working till midnight sometimes.
And I think it is that idea of what is it you're doing that isn't really using your skills or ability that you're doing because the school can't afford X. And you'll find so much of your time can be taken up by these tasks where you're finding a different way of doing it to save money. But in reality, all that is doing is preventing you from supporting children.
Definitely. The biggest thing is admin support, because I'm a very expensive filer. And it's not worth my money to get me filing. It's not worth my money to be on playground duty all the time, or to be doing lunch cover, just things like that. And, you know, even writing up notes, the one thing that would support Senkos, depending on size of school and context, etc., is enough admin support that they don't have to do all the bits and pieces that take up a significant amount of time but really aren't using their skills.
Yeah. One of the things you can use, which I love about AI, is you can now, if you want to, instead of taking minutes, you can now record meetings on phones if everyone is happy and so on. And then you can put that audio file into a tool and it will then transcribe. And what's really cool, it generally learns people's voices. So it'll help, hey, person 1, 2, 3. And when you update the person, what is this name? It will do it. And it's a really good way of literally having that full transcript of that meeting. And they're either now free or very cheap, these tools, or there's different things like Microsoft Stream. If you use Office 365, we'll do it for you for free. And There's things like that. But again, it's one of those ones where instead of you having to make notes and try and remember, oh, what was said, when you've got these, record the audio, you can then re-listen. Because sometimes what you don't get in the transcription is how it was said. But you can re-listen. And that is a great way that you then also give that to others. Because that's the thing is, in these meetings with parents and whoever else, is there's often a lot of emotion on both sides. So for the parent, it's their child. But for you as a Senko, when parents, you can have that sense of I failed them, or I'm being accused of stuff and it's not my fault.
You have to support the school even despite your personal views as well. That's another issue.
So you have all these things. So you're, whether you, even though it's a professional meeting, you can get very emotional, and it's nice to have that recollection of this is actually the event, this is how it was said. So if someone then who wasn't in the meeting that gets accused, you can go, well, actually, this is transcript and we do have the audio recording as well. And it's useful for the parents as well, for them to have a copy of what was said. So that actually they're going, they come away going, I can't actually remember what we agreed. You've got this summary of how that conversation went, which is useful for them.
That's so definitely true. I mean, there's so much technology coming out at the moment, and there's also quite a lot in circulation at the moment. But I think Senkos who are time poor don't necessarily have the time in order to research what is going to be helpful to save them time either. So that's one of my things to do is kind of a top 10 tech for Senkos sort of webinar or something like that. That's going to be quite exciting. So that's, yeah, on my ideas to research next.
That's the thing is, I think, and it's interesting, I listened to a podcast, my own podcast on here, on certainty with Jamie Galpin and Claire Ward. And it was really interesting. It makes you realize how much we do is based on certainty. So there's this new way. I don't know it. I'm not going to try it. I don't have time. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But if I use my paper-based method, I know the outcome, even if it takes me longer. That gives me certainty. And there's so many things we just go back to, sometimes really maybe ineffective ways of doing it, but we know it will work. And there are times when you're in a really good mood and you're not pressured and you will try that new thing and go, oh, actually, this is amazing.
Yeah. Definitely.
Or you need, but you need someone else to tell you 100 times, just give it a go. It will work.
Yeah. And AI, I mean, it can be used for good and evil, can't it, AI? So it's just depending on how you use it. And I've certainly noticed on my network, just things like if you need a letter that's, you know, you want a letter to your head teacher about some issues that come up, if you type it all into AI, and it just frames it for you in a very polite and professional manner, even if that's not what you're thinking. So yes, that's really helpful.
And I think, yeah, you literally have to put bullet points on these are my issues. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's time is a really big issue for Senkos. And there are tools which do cost money. But if by spending, I don't know, a couple of £100 a year on tools to help you, if that is freeing up more than, let's say the tool costs you £300 or £400. How long in time, Lynn, is £300 or £400 worth of your time?
Oh, let me see. As a Senko, it depends. Because if I worked out like the actual hours, I'm probably, you know, Senkos are on minimum wage, I think, if they work out their actual hours.
You know, because if you had to get if you were to disappear off, like if you're a supply teacher, £300 is about 2 days, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So £400 is like 3 days. And that's just a supply, and that's just clock. So when I think of how much does something cost, I always think of it in terms of days.
Definitely.
So if you're using that software, which is going to cost you £300 or £400, provision map, our software, whatever it is to save you time, you've just got to work out, is this going to save me 3 days a year? Mm. Yeah. If I have this, I get 3 days back or more. How can I use that time?
Definitely. It's the same as also when you have that question with your leadership of this pupil really needs their own laptop. And if they had this laptop with accessible technology, then they could access the curriculum better, which is much better than an adult having to stand with them the whole time, because an adult is more expensive than that laptop. So it's also a similar thing, isn't it?
It is. It's partly the way we've always done it, or we didn't need this before. It's like, yeah, but look at the changing environment and the situations we're in, and we've got all this amazing stuff coming through, yet we're still doing it the old way. It's a lot of it is really taking that step back and looking at how can we solve this in intelligent ways. And that's the thing, spending, it's working smarter, not harder, but also spending smarter.
Definitely, because I can't see our resource situation getting any better in the short term.
No. And that's the thing is, and I know like with that APDR is often people go running off in a direction thinking they're doing something without actually really planning it all properly, which in reality just means you are wasting time and money. But in reality, you're also failing that child for even longer.
And I also, my school is tiny and I'm sending over one day a week in my school because it fits around my freelance work. And I've got 8 on my caseload and there's 59 children in the school. So it's showing a completely other side of the budget constraints as to literally there is zero money because there's just, we're having to be quite creative with ways of doing things because we do have a couple of high needs pupils because I think sometimes smaller schools attract pupils with higher needs because we do have smaller class sizes, which is great. It's great that we can welcome those children, but it definitely has its own issues in terms of not being able to afford the more sort of effective technologies that would help.
So we've talked about time, we've talked about money, we've talked about those legal bits. What else do Senkos want their heads to know?
I think a lot of it is having a look at the best practice guidelines for Senkoing. So understanding the EEF documents, for example, about what we should be trying to achieve as a school, and also just checking your context against the BASPAR Senko workload, just to check that you are being fair in what time you're giving your Senko, because there's so many different contexts, there's so many different numbers of pupils on our SEND list, and it can be quite difficult sometimes for heads and Senkos to agree on how much release time to have. So I've seen sort of big schools where the Senko is only released for half a day, or there's smaller schools where there's a full-time Senko 3 days a week and no teaching commitment. So it is hugely, hugely variable. But in all cases, the work is never done. So there does need to be a little bit more joined up thinking, I think, with looking at the best practice guidelines there.
That's the thing. I think going back to right at the beginning is if the Senko is working isolated or on their own without that leadership backing, then you are going to be on your own in that school. Whereas if you get that leadership support and you are included as a Senko in that plan, you are given the correct pedestal to be on, to support staff and to be listened to and be shown to be listened to by the senior leaders. So maybe when that senior leader is giving out their targets, one of them is an SEN target without you even having to be involved, then that is when more of your work gets done, because there is all the legal stuff with the HCPs and all that lot and all that stuff, but there's also supporting all of those pupils in that school, and that has to be you working with the leadership.
Definitely, and it does need to be joined up. So if you need to be at that SLT table, that's another point, because some of our Senkos in my network, they're kind of on the periphery looking in, but they don't get invited to senior leadership meetings. And although it's best practice for your Senko to be on the SLT, it doesn't always happen. And that doesn't mean you have to sit through the whole meeting, because a lot of it is not going to be relevant to your role necessarily. But you do need to be updating senior leadership teams somehow and working in conjunction with them to the same end, so that you're fighting the corner for these children, basically.
Now, I would probably say that most things are in your remit, whether they're talking school improvement plans, school trips, Christmas fair, behaviour, anything like that. Generally, the SEND does crop up in those conversations. And the other thing to say, which I didn't come across this until a couple of years ago, that the whole idea of the Senko being on the SLT is the Senko role as it is enough to be on the SLT. What some people I've heard of, if you want to be on SLT as well as a Senko, you need to take on these 5 other roles. Because that's what happens to SLT.
If you are a leader as well, then obviously if you're deputy or assistant head, then your remit is slightly more fluid and a bit less drilled down, isn't it? But yeah, if you're pure Senko, then it should be a lot clearer.
But they're sort of saying, oh, no, if you're a Senko, you've got to be this, 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 and this. It's like, if you want to be in the SLT, it's like, no, the whole point is you are raising the voice of SEN in the school. Mm-hmm. Now, ideally, long term, we won't need that. And I think that's where the Send App Improvement Plan is heading. SEND is everybody's business and everyone has that responsibility. And if that is the case, then in theory, the Senko doesn't need to be on the SLT because that voice is already there. Mm-hmm. But
that would be nice, wouldn't it?
But then it's sort of like, then you become the SEN consultant. Mm-hmm. And I'm still thinking, well, why wouldn't you be?
I mean,
in
I
meetings?
Like to know what's going on generally. And I think because I came to it from a different angle, because I was assistant head first, I found that I was used outside of my Senko role because I already had the experience there to have ideas from a whole school perspective. Then I could just add it from a different angle, because I do think sometimes just working with leaders, Senkos can be so tunnel visioned with their area. They do also forget themselves, the bigger picture. And we don't understand the whole school issue sometimes because we are too focused on our own areas. So that's something to sort of say to head teachers that, you know, we're sorry, but we're all trying hard to for the same end for the pupils. So that's just another way of looking at it.
But I think if you are isolated, you will end up just thinking of SEN. Whereas if you do have that more inclusive ethos within your school where you are listened to and what you are saying is part of what the head teacher is also saying, then you are going to have a wider view on SEN because you're then involved and included more. I think it's where you're not included, you literally are just shouting SEN to everyone because no one's listening. You all become very fixed on your role, but that is because the rest of the school is making you ineffective.
I think as well, at the moment, there's a lot of Senkos leaving the profession, Senkos who are very experienced and coming up through the ranks are very enthusiastic younger teachers, but who haven't got the classroom experience or leadership experience behind them in order to know about the subtle nuances of leadership when it comes to dealing with people, you know, sitting on the SLT table. And you're not taught that, you know, it's one of these professions where you're not taught anything before you do the job, you know, no other professions. You wouldn't be a surgeon, would you? You wouldn't just rock up and go, I've just been promoted to a surgeon. Just going to do your heart operation today.
Yeah, you might get the first three wrong, but you'll learn.
Yeah, you'll learn.
The fourth operation will go fine, I'm sure.
We'll just have a meeting about it. Obviously, a very extreme example, but there's no training. I mean, hopefully the new MPQ is going to improve things from an actual practical perspective of what Senkoing is like. But at the same time, before you get the role, if you're not already a Senko, you have an idea of what might happen, but you don't really know until you know.
No, that thing is, I am hoping the new MPQ, there's a lot of hate for it because it's not leading to a master's, but my understanding is a more practical.
You can take the credits with you, I believe. So, because it's not a whole, there are credits at master's level, so you can port the credits somewhere else if you want to.
But it is, if it's more practical leading you to and helping you in the role, then I'm all for it. Because I've heard lots of people say, I've got my Senko. Where can I get training to help me with my role?
Yeah, for my actual job.
That was a lovely 3 years.
I can help with that.
Not sure the word lovely 3 years or whatever with the dissertations. But doing all of that and then looking at your school going, yeah, I none of that helps. Mm. So I'm hoping the new MPQ really is a big change. I find it odd that the MPQ has all been announced when nothing else is in place with the new SEND and AP improvement plan. Mm. But we'll see if it evolves over time to reflect all those changes. But I also think, as you said, we've got these lovely, enthusiastic Senkos, and you are all very lovely, enthusiastic. But I think there is something about, I'm going to say the word, going around the block a few times as a compliment.
Thank you.
When you say that, it always sounds negative, doesn't you? Doesn't it? It always sounds like being around the block a few times.
Got the battle scars to prove it,
yes.
I think.
But it basically, you see things coming back, you're going, oh, we did this 10 years ago. It didn't work then either. But also is we have a load of people who have only come into teaching since the new primary curriculum. And a lot of the original guidance was done in speeches, which people were hooked onto, was really bad. Never turned it into legislation, but kind of they're the one that people hooked onto because it reduced workload. which is where we have this whole confusion around differentiation and adaptive teaching, and people having completely different ideas of what differentiation means, because there's the government definition and there's the original definition and there's loads of, so lots of confusion.
Lots of opinion.
But it was, I think in 2013, the government said an announcement, and it was in a speech from the DfE, and it was in lots of their slides, but it's all gone. Can't find any reference to it anymore. Is all children should be assessed against the end of year outcomes for the year they are in. So it is, you just do year five.
It's a bit life after levels, isn't it?
It was all that, and it was all this sort of stuff. Whereas I think before that, it was a continual scale, and the child could be in anywhere, and
it was a much friendlier way of assessing. And because I think the numbers didn't equate to the children's year group so directly, it wasn't quite so stark in terms of what. And also, it's difficult because when a pupil is below, they could be below, or they could be below, below, or below, 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 or below, 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 below. And that doesn't really tell you anything, does it? And I think parents are sometimes unaware of how below, below, below their child is, because it's
especially
just
if you just
very
use the term
well
working towards the current year group, which doesn't say anything.
No, exactly.
But that's the thing. I think you have teachers coming in going, I'm a year five teacher, I teach year five. Why do they can't do it? I don't know.
Mm. Particularly junior schools as well, with no infants to draw upon.
So I think we have a lot of that going on, whereas years, those teachers would just previously would have just dropped down to a lower level.
Yeah, after those foundations to year six, so I can kind of go backwards and forwards as to where the pupil's starting from. So,
but there's some sort of mentality in the way things are going. It's just, and I think having those more experienced teachers would just go, we just do this, as if it's so simple, because it is so simple. But I think the way over the last 8 years that curricular, primary curriculum has been announced, and everything is this is year four and this is year five, has kind of put blocks in people's heads.
Particularly the SEMH side of things as well. If you haven't got the classroom experience for behaviour SEMH, then it's really difficult to try and explain to somebody else how to support behaviour when you haven't done it yourself necessarily.
And this is where I think your Senko message can conflict with the head teachers or the leadership's message. Is the leadership message, we cannot have that behaviour. Mm. And the Senko's going, well, it is communication.
It's communication.
So you're going, well, it's kind of, you can't have that behaviour, but you've also got to understand that is communicating. And actually there's lots we can do to prevent that and support that and do things around that. Not just go, you can't have that.
Yeah, it's about building those relationships with those pupils, isn't it, every time, and having the resources to do that.
And being able to not firefight, but actually putting that understanding in before the incident happens. Because I think it's quite hard for you as a person, if someone has really, really upset you, made you angry, whatever, to then not have that in the back of your mind the next time you're talking to them, or even for the next 3-4 weeks, that you did this to me in the classroom yesterday, and they're going to be, you can't just reset it as if it never happened. It's going to be there. And from that point on, you're looking for it. And you know, when two people have fallen out, they always just, they're just picking at each other. And it's how can we change that? How can we put that stuff in before?
And that comes back to the quality first, high quality, just good teaching, doesn't it? Because as a Senko, you're fighting a losing battle with staff changing, having to repeat your inductions over and over again. I always say to the Senkos, record your inductions on your PowerPoint so that you can just let new staff run with it, with the high quality teaching side of things. But you do have to keep on with the high quality teaching, because these are the things that prevent the issues in class. So if that's all very well embedded with support of your head teacher, then it's going to prevent a lot of these issues before they start. Or at least you've got structures in place to deal with them as well.
I was at a conference recently, and it was the behaviour support team were there, and they were basically trying to find out, because they'd realised this was happening a lot, that pupils with SEND were going on exclusions, whether internal, fixed term, whatever, and the Senko wasn't aware. So children are being excluded, Senko not aware. Children are coming back into school, still the Senko not aware. Senko has not been aware of the whole process, yet they're the person who literally has a nice SEMH target.
In the biggest
and all the things.
Yeah.
And you have things like this going on where you're literally going, if it's SEND, that Senko needs to be before any of this happens, need to be talked to. But there's a whole thing, I think, around that, about that, again, for conflicting messages of we cannot have this behaviour, and not thinking, oh, they've got SEN, need to get some advice and guidance from that Senko on what we do in this situation.
In a larger school, it's you've quite often got your behaviour leads and Senko and pastoral. So I always suggest to Senkos that they arrange a triangulation meeting once every other week, just so that you can catch up with these pupils, because it is highly likely there's going to be an awful lot of overlap with need and the safeguarding. You know, and sometimes you do get the odd child who's just labelled. And that kind of brings me on to screening in year seven for speech and language, because so much behaviour is an underlying speech and language issue that was never picked up in primary because of there wasn't any screening. And it's never too late to start supporting speech and language, but it's much easier lower down the school. And some of these frustrations and behaviour and communication needs could have been prevented at primary for this reason. I just thought I'd throw that in there because it's really important.
Oh, I'm on the same thing, because I'm really frustrated when we think of like the pre-key stage standards. There is reading, writing and maths. It's not about the child. It's about accountability. And we know with research that if they can't do it orally or verbally, how they're going to do it with their hand on a piece of paper or on a keyboard, if they can't literally do it in the moment, they're not going to be able to then. So there's loads of things come back to spoken language in terms of writing, but also that mental health. If you cannot communicate, if you do not have those interactions, if you don't feel belonging, if you don't have that connection with people, then that has a negative impact on your mental health. But because reading, writing and maths is all that local authorities and the government care about and the league tables and all that lot, that spoken language has just been completely pushed out of primary. And then secondaries are now going, oh, we've got lots of issues. And they're realising with all this screening that actually there is this unmet need.
Definitely, definitely. And I think, and certainly the COVID years have exacerbated that even further. Yes. So that's another issue that we've got coming up through the ranks, isn't it, with our pupils. And I think also just in terms of assessment, head teachers have a real difficulty sometimes understanding the leaps that they expect the children to make in terms of that what they say is good progress, whereas what we want our pupils with SEND to achieve, which is their potential. And some of the whole school tracking systems are not quite fit for purpose. I know you know this already, don't you, Dale? Because obviously your tracking system is very good for very small steps. So I do think that teachers in classes with the pressures on them can get a little bit click-cappy with the school assessment system. And there just needs to be a little bit extra in place for our pupils with SEND that are making much smaller steps.
And this is where I think when we think of equality and equity, people don't quite understand what that really means. They think it maybe means what happens in the classroom. But in reality, that has an impact in products you use. It impacts meetings. All that's like governor's meetings is actually, when we think of equality and equity, it's sort of actually how much time are we involved? Are we discussing different groups of pupils? Yeah. If 90% of the people are doing really, really well, pat on the back, move on. What about the 10%? Let's spend the rest of the time on this 10% who aren't doing well. How are we going to do? What are we going to do? That's not what happens. Because the 10% kind of in a lot of schools kind of get written off. Because we're chasing league tables. So we've got to make that 90%. So we've got a lot of work around that, but it comes down to accountability. You know, you sit there and you're saying the same thing again and again. That's what I find myself doing. I'm going, I must stop droning on about this. But it's accountability. Because we have accountability around league tables and things like that and performance, but there's no accountability around SEN. Until that is there, then schools overall will not, because of the pressures put on them.
So the only accountability is the only good thing I can say about Ofsted, in that they do look at the triangulation between the paperwork and what's going on in the classrooms, which they never did before. And that's probably the only positive thing I can say.
I do see on a lot of Senko groups, Senkos having positive experiences of Ofsted. And that is, they do come across as supportive and things like that. Other things I'm not going to comment on. Yeah, I think within the SEN, I do think that Ofsted is pushing the importance of SEN.
And that's a carrot to dangle in front of your head teacher as well, if you're struggling to get them on side with the inclusion side of things, then definitely dangle that in front of them and see where that takes you.
And if you are on any of the Facebook groups for SENCOs, search for "what do Ofsted want" type thing, and you'll get a list of the questions they've asked. And you can literally take that and put it to your head teacher and go, look, if we're asked this, how are we going to do? And that, again, you can use that sort of information of what Ofsted are asking, put that to head teachers. And again, it's a great way of helping them see that it's not about just the SENCO. It's your English need, your maths lead. It's this person, it's you, it's everyone.
And it goes back to the needs of the people. If that was at the heart of your curriculum, and if PHSE and the wellbeing was interwoven into everything you do as a school, and you were doing it to, not for Ofsted, but because it's the right thing to do, then I think everyone would be a lot, you know, the outcomes would come on their own, wouldn't they?
Yes. I personally think we should get more rid of league tables and things like that than Ofsted, because that's the one where that's the accountability that people seem to listen to year on year and drives that school. And you see the schools, they put their banners up outside the school that they're in the top results or this.
Yeah, just burn the banners.
And I know certain schools near us, it's like, oh, so 50% of your parents pay for tutors. Nice. That's what it really means. It doesn't mean that you're doing an amazing job.
Well, it's easier to get a good Ofsted in a better demographic statistically as well, isn't it? So
it is. In theory, the glass ceiling isn't there anymore for those without that demographic, which I think is great, but needs to be more. But until we use results, we've got to move away from that. And there needs to be accountability around SEND in the SEND AP improvement plan that you can use in your role as a SENCO. That's what I really want to see coming in. So how do we get head teachers on the SENCO side? Apart from giving them that lovely, this is what Ofsted want, how can we get head teachers on side?
there are several things that your SENCO can do within school to do this. So my favourite is just to make sure you're building those relationships with your head teachers. So even if they are a bit standoffish, even if they're stressed, if you actually really work hard to get on side with your head teacher, just in terms of supporting them with their wellbeing, because nobody checks up on a head teacher's wellbeing, do they? I mean, the governors should, but they're quite often the person running around trying to look after everybody else, but they're not being looked after themselves. So I would think if you can get your head teacher's relationship and yours built up, that's a really good starting point. You know, find out their hobbies, talk to them about them. It's the same way that you get around pupils, isn't it? So the same things apply. And they will probably admit themselves that they don't necessarily have a lot of training in some areas of SEND and would probably welcome some training support and some signposting to where they could look for their own CPD in SEND as well. I mean, sometimes the issues move up to sort of trust leaders and they're a little bit more difficult to get on board sometimes because they're in their sort of higher up ivory towers. So it can be quite difficult to get up to them. But if you've got a sort of a collective cluster of SENCOs within your MAT schools, you can probably do something collectively in order to support that as well. So yeah, there's lots and lots you can do, and just making sure that they're involved in any decisions, being transparent about what you're doing. So if you've got a head teacher who does let you get on with your job and doesn't really interfere, then just make sure you keep your head teacher updated about what you're doing, just so you're transparent about everything really, and that really helps. So but any staff meeting time you can get, any shared visions you can create as well. If you are working together on the same things, then that is really important. And if you have to steer that a little bit, then that's kind of a good development tool for you as a SENCO, isn't it? To be able to steer things in the way that you want them to run. I know it's not always possible, but you know, it's with the best intentions. Good luck.
You mentioned MATS and SEND, and that's actually... So I recorded a podcast with Simon Tanner not long ago around MATS and leadership, and it fills a role which hasn't really existed before, because local authorities' role to SEND is completely different to you. And I kind of liken that MATS and lead is more like a head teacher looking after all of their staff. It's just they are looking after all the SENCOs. So actually you do have a group. You have someone who listens to you and understands the challenges and can reflect on, is your challenge similar to others in different other schools and things like that, but also has that voice higher up.
Definitely.
Which can have an impact on your school. So I think that is a really good one. And also you mentioned at the beginning about kind of logging the work you do weekly, monthly.
Mm.
And I would recommend if you feel that you're completely snowed under and unlistened to, is I would at least half a term send an email summarising 32 EHCP requests. And maybe like 42 referred for SEND from staff, only 3 followed the correct procedure. Whatever it is, and kind of just highlighting how your time is used.
Extracting paperwork is a nightmare out of staff. That's one of the worst things of the job, I think, from my perspective.
But also, depending on your school, you might have a parent which takes up a lot of your time. Now, generally, okay, it's a feeling thing. They will generally be that person if they feel they're not being listened to or supported. So sometimes, I'm going to use a Karen thing, let me talk to your manager type attitude. But sometimes if you feel something is escalated, you will feel listened to. So if you're literally spending lots of time as a Senko with a parent, sometimes just getting that head teacher on board.
Definitely, if they're challenging.
Can have a really big impact and may reduce that time spent. So I think sometimes is including those, actually, I'm spending a lot of time with parents of this child, spend a lot of time with parents of this child, things like that, helping them see that there's the stuff you are doing as part of your role, but actually the supporting the parents.
Mm. Which, if you print out your timetable every week of what you're intending to do and overwrite it in a different colour of what actually happened, including what at break times, lunch times, before school and at home, then if you do that for a month, first of all, you'll find that you have to stop lying to yourself about the amount of work you're doing, because quite often we brush it off, don't we, and go, oh no, I'm really enjoying it. I don't mind doing all this work. So that's one thing. But then you actually have something concrete to present to your leadership team. Say, look, this is what's happening. This is where I've spent an hour every week speaking to this parent. And what can we do to support me with this situation?
And they might not have any awareness of this. And they might either be just going, okay, I'm going to call her and tell her she can't have this. Or they might go, okay, there's obviously an issue. And with all your best endeavours, you are not resolving it. So how can we, because that's the thing, an hour a week is a lot of time for one child. So how can we change this? And digging into it and working out what the issue is and how do we resolve it. And sometimes it's internal, sometimes it's external, but how can we support that parent?
Parents need this reassurance. And if the parent needs that, then that's what they need, isn't it? But we'll come on to that in another session.
That's the thing. For a lot of time, parents, we all want to feel listened to and heard. And whether or not anything changes is a different thing. It's a feeling. We all as humans have a feeling of being heard. And as a Senko, you're often frustrated because you're not listened to or heard. Whereas if you had the same thing and you actually got a better response, it would make your life easier.
Yeah, and I think sometimes schools need to be transparent about what they can't provide as well. Because you can't promise the earth and then not deliver it. Because, you know, there's lots we want to provide as a school, but we can't just because of finances, you know, rightly or wrongly. It's a challenge, isn't it? So it's a juggling act.
Yes. And problem is, the Senko is the person that parents can get hold of.
Absolutely. The middleman, perpetually.
The middleman. Yes.
Can I just add as well about Senko pay? Because that's quite a contentious issue. So there's an awful lot of misconceptions among leaders about Senko pay. So a lot of Senkos are paid with the SEN allowance, but this was never designed for Senkos. It was designed for teachers who had a high level of SEND learners in their class, or if you work in a specialist setting, that side of things. So you should have a TLR. And also to state that UPS is not for Senkoing, it's for being experienced. So if you just have your UPS and you've been told that that's enough, then no, you should have something extra for the Senko role, unless you are a deputy or assistant head, in which case you should be on the leadership spine and your heads can basically ask you to do anything.
But I say, there is a thing I remember reading, again, I haven't researched. So yeah, the SEN allowance is for teachers who have a high number of SEN.
Yep.
So in theory, multiple teachers in schools could have that.
Technically, they could ask for that, yes.
So that's a whole fun bit people need to think about. Yeah, good luck. I don't know how this is true, but I've read that if you are put on the leadership scale, then something like the teaching standards don't apply, or something I've read, some legal thing.
It's a different set of standards, I believe. So, I mean, generally, as a Senko, you wouldn't go on the leadership scale just for Senkoing unless you had maybe a whole MAT leadership side of things.
Yeah, so there is, it's just understand and research. Don't just go, oh, yeah, it sounds great. Actually, if you move on to leadership, because I know some Senkos have been put on that, but then things have changed. So, yeah, there's a certain understanding around various things like that. But, yeah, Senko, TLR is the right thing to do.
Definitely. And, you know, again, contexts are very varied. So it might be worth as well looking at the BAFS bar and just seeing different contexts, different pay, and just finding out from other people. In fact, when my book comes out, I've interviewed and surveyed about 1,000 different Senkos to find out this information. And just there was just too many options to go on a bar chart, to be honest. So it was all very ambiguous.
Yes. And Lynn keeps saying BAFS bar. What she really means is the Senko Workload Survey, which was probably carried about 4 or 5 years ago now, as I realise.
The first one was 2020, and then they updated it a few years later. So,
2020, wow, time flies.
Not much has changed, but yeah.
No. Fingers crossed, send it and print. We'll fix everything with a magic a wave of a wand, and life will be perfect.
Brilliant. No more podcasts then.
I'll just be saying well done to everyone.
Yeah,
that's what I'll be doing. Nothing to moan about. It's like, how's this going? Well, okay. Are this going well? Okay.
So you're meeting the best,
and then we're doing it already. Excellent. Yeah, job done. Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show today, Lynn.
No problem.
Really enjoyed it. I had to make sure I didn't get too ranty on things. Fuck, I'd have gone off on one on a soapbox type thing. Lynn's given me some links, including for those who have never seen that Senko workload survey, I've got a link to that. And also Lynn does a load of CPD and how to get hold of Lynn. So all of that in the show notes, which as always is wherever you're listening to this podcast, you're going to find the show notes. If you're on Spotify, it's on the information bit and you'll see it all there. But you can also find all the show notes on the episodes on the Senkast website. Thank you for listening to the show. If you aren't following us on social media, you'll find us on Twitter at The Senkast, on Facebook, The Senkast, on Instagram, The Senkast. Really, really simple. And The Senkast is created and produced by us here at B Squared. We help schools to show the small steps of progress pupils with SEND make. We have a wide range of frameworks to suit different abilities and ages, but do you know we also have a tool called Autism Progress as part of Connecting Steps, which is about building a profile on how a pupil's autism impacts them. It is based on certs on its communication, social interaction, emotional regulation, and flexible thinking. Autism Progress also includes a wide range of strategies to help support the pupils. Visit the B Squared website or click a meeting link in the show notes to book a meeting with me to take you through our assessment software and show you what Autism Progress can do for you. So thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode of The Senkast. It is goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Bye, everyone.